Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. From University of Medical Science in Iran, an article just published in the Journal of Complementary Therapies and Clinical Practice, the benefits of royal jelly for menopausal women. That's good. We've got a lot of menopausal women suffering from irregular periods, hot flashes, mood swings, vaginal atrophy, loss of libido, etc. So something can help them? You bet. We'll get to that. Also, the first groundbreaking study shows how rhodiola, rosea, protects people from viral infections. Appalachian State University. Very important study, and we'll share that with you here today. Also, we have a study today we're going to talk about, also with rhodiola, that's R-H-O-D-I-O-L-A, significantly improves mental health and promotes a calm state of mind. University of Wien, which is in Austria. So we have a lot to share. That's just a little bit of it. But more importantly today, we have two very important statements from mainstream, highly respected, never controversial, pro-vaccine, pro-orthodox scientists and physicians. In fact, one is a medical doctor and a scientist both, MD, PhD, with four major background degrees. And he has done some autopsies, and he's going to show you, and you can go to prn.fm, scroll down, where you see Gary's notes, and you can watch this, because there are charts of slides that he has taken of patients showing you a healthy brain and a vaccinated brain, a healthy heart and a vaccinated heart. Now, whether you choose to vaccinate or not, that's your choice, and I'll certainly support you in your choice either way. But shouldn't you know this information? Of course you should. That's called informed consent. The nurse, the pharmacist, or the physician that is giving you the vaccine should present you with a list of all the known, and we know a lot now, that the FDA has known from the beginning and not advised the public on. The media has never told you about these side effects. Today you will have this doctor telling you. It's not a long segment, but it's very powerful. What's important is the context. This is a very large auditorium, packed with medical doctors. Almost everyone in there is white coat. And these are mainstream orthodox doctors. None of these are holistic or complementary doctors, but they're using vitamin D and vitamin C and zinc, selenium. Yeah, they're using what the peer-reviewed scientific literature shows works, but also ivermectin. And the establishment is continuing its attack against ivermectin, but there's a hiccup. The so-called fear statements that all these people were orchestrating simultaneously last week, oh, you're taking a horse medicine and the hospital's filled and the ICU's filled, not true. They all had to retract or restate them, the statements. Rolling Stone and just today, AP, Associated Press, had to retract its previous statements. They got it wrong, and they had to reverse their position. But are they now saying, well, who told us this to begin with? How do we all, mainstream media, spread the same lies? No, they haven't, and they won't. So we're going to give you a little more information on that today. Also, Anthony Fauci, you have been caught. Now, you'll be defended by those in the deep state who need you. In position of power. So you will not hear the mainstream media look at the actual evidence that The Intercept received 900 pages under the Freedom of Information Act that shows that he lied, out and out lied, under oath about never supporting gain-of-function research. That's not true. These documents show that. Also, a clip that we found from 2012 testifying under oath before Congress, said that gain-of-function research was being done, but even if it didn't work, even if there was a disaster, it was still worth it. I'll bet he wishes the internet didn't exist, because nothing ever goes away. So we have that. Also, we have a nurse. This is a 20-year practicing nurse, and she's telling what she and a lot of other nurses are seeing, and why the nurses are saying no to the vaccine, and they're all pro-vaccine. They've all given thousands of vaccines. So it's not they're anti-vaccine. Don't throw them into that category, which people in the mainstream media are trying to do. No, they're seeing what the reactions are and how these reactions are being hidden or denied. We also have the latest numbers, and they are staggering. Staggering. Over 41,000 dead. That's a minimum figure. That's the government's own figures between the European Union, Great Britain, United States, and 6 million injuries? 6 million. And a lot of those permanent injuries. There's never been a medication in history that has caused this much injury and death and is still promoted without a single one of these stories about what it does, providing a voice for the voiceless, being discussed. So, isn't it possible that those of you who want to believe entirely upon what you're told by your favorite media personalities or your favorite politicians could be biased? And that's not good. So we're going to be talking about that today as well. Also, India is charging the World Health Organization scientists, the top scientists, with mass murder. So is this the beginning of accountability? So we have that lawsuit that is now in place. Robert Kennedy's Jr.'s Children's Health Defense Fund has sued the FDA about the children's vaccine program that they're advocating, and all kinds of scientists and physicians are coming forward to testify. So we have a lot to share. Of course, we always begin with the latest on health and healing. I remember the first time I was exposed to royal jelly was when there was a little tiny health food store up on 90th and Broadway. It was on the corner. And when I went in there, I was young. I was 19. And I was a bodybuilder or weightlifter. I was big, 236 pounds, all muscle. And I wasn't a runner at that time. That would come a little later. And boy, that shed the muscles down. And there was this gentleman in there. He was, I don't know how old he was. He was all white hair. And he was a pharmacist. He had on this white jacket. But he had a little counter. He made carrot and celery juice. And he had all these different bottles. And I said, what are you putting in there? He says, well, he said, I'm going to put some royal jelly in there. I said, why royal jelly? I had heard royal jelly because one of the farms that my great aunt had in Little Hocking, Ohio, she used royal jelly. And I remember she used bee propolis, which is kind of black and looked like a sticky oil, thick oil. And it tastes terrible. But every winter, she would make some apple cider with cinnamon in it. And then she would put royal jelly and bee propolis in there. And she said, this is good. She would also give cod liver oil. And so all of us in my family had cod liver oil. Then my mom would put all of us, in warm clothes, but put us outside in the cold on the porch for an hour. And I didn't like that. And I said, what are you doing? She said, it makes you hearty. She was actually right. And so I had only had a superficial knowledge of royal jelly. Well, now there's a whole lot of good research on royal jelly. And this latest study, published in the journal Complementary Therapies and Clinical Practice, shows that royal jelly can help alleviate a lot of menopausal symptoms. In their report, researchers from the Hormones Again University of Medical Sciences noted that the severity of menopausal symptoms was significantly lower in women who had been given a royal jelly supplement. Now, we know that menopause is accompanied in most women, but not all. It depends upon your state of health. And it can last between perimenopause, which is premenopause, and contrary to what people believe, even though you may had in intermittent periods, short periods, or no periods, period of time, you can still get pregnant. People think, oh, now I don't have to worry about that. Yeah, you do, till you're in full menopause, and you've ceased all of that ovarian activity. In any case, women went through a 12 months without menstruation than they were in this study. The average age was 51. And however, some women as early as 40 were in it. Here's what they found improved. Irregular periods. Now, again, during perimenopause, a woman may experience either shorter or longer periods than usual. It could also cause unexpected bleeding during periods or miss periods altogether. Hot flashes are one of the most important as far as the problems. A hot flash is defined as a sudden feeling of heat in the chest and face. And hot flashes are very common in perimenopause. But their frequency and severity may differ for each woman. A night sweat, on the other hand, refers to a hot flash that occurs during sleep. And while night sweats can interrupt a woman's sleep cycle and cause daytime fatigue, there are cases where it can be debilitating. Then mood swings are very common. Changes in mood are fairly common among perimenopausal women. These can include symptoms of irritability and depression and even anxiety. However, women experiencing persistent mood changes or those that affect their quality of life should realize there may be something else occurring and seek holistic mental health care. And then something that's rarely discussed in America, and it should be, is vaginal atrophy. Perimenopause women have reduced estrogen, not completely gone, however, and this can lead to a condition called vaginal atrophy or vaginal dryness. A woman with vaginal atrophy has thinning, drying, and inflamed vaginal walls caused by reduced estrogen levels in the body. And this makes sexual intercourse very painful and often accompanied by feelings of itching and burning, even bleeding. And that can lead to internal sores and infections. This also increases women's risk of urinary tract infections. And then there's loss of libido. Women in perimenopause and later menopause frequently experience a loss of interest in sex due to hormonal fluctuations. Those are just some of the things, but Royal Jelly's intervention reduced all of those. That is terrific, and that's good news. So Royal Jelly, you can get it as a Royal Jelly. And remember, when you buy Royal Jelly, it should have a tart taste to it. It shouldn't be sweet. Don't confuse it with honey. And also look for the total amount of royal jelly in a jar, not the total bulk and the carrier it comes with. And sometimes they'll trick you. They'll say, oh, you're getting 1,000 milligrams. But is that 1,000 milligrams of just royal jelly? Because they sometimes blend royal jelly in with honey, like a clover honey. And then people think, oh, you know, it looks a little like a bar of soap that's melting, and it has a little acrid and bitter taste to it. Or you can get the Royal Jelly capsules, but I suggest you get the Royal Jelly by itself. A little strong, a little expensive, phenomenally rejuvenating. Now, I just told you what it does for menopause, perimenopause. It does a whole lot for the aging process, and does a lot for your immune system as well. So, just something to put into your armamentarium. Daily consumption, I would say around 1,000 milligrams, if you really want it to be effective. Now, from Appalachian State University, they're looking at rhodiola, R-H-O-D-I-O-L-A, rosea, R-O-S-E-A. It protects you from viral infections. Now, it's also known as Arctic root or golden root, and it's been clinically shown to stimulate serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine activity. So it's really good, and I've used it for a long time, and especially at Trafalgar Hospital, where I help with all the drug addict addictions, or all types of addictions. And I was using a holistic protocol, and we had a huge success, and especially when we could get people off alcohol, crack cocaine, heroin, without them going through extreme withdrawal. And that meant rebalancing the neurotransmitters in the body and being able to replace the artificial dopamine hits with something that's natural, get rid of the caffeine so you don't have that artificial hyperkinetic high, and so you're more even, rebalancing the serotonin stimulation too. B-complex does that, and neuromagnesium does that. Anyhow, what you want to do is use rhodiola because it really helps everything in your body, especially it protects you, it's an herb, protects you against viral infections. Now, originally it came from Siberia, where it thrives in high altitudes and dry Arctic climate. The primary medicinal compounds in the Arctic group are derived from the root of the plant. In Russia and Scandinavia and much of Europe, Arctic root, or rhodiola, has been traditionally recognized because of its adaptogenic properties. By the way, an adaptogen is a physiological agent that naturally increases the body's resistance to physical and emotional stress. Ginseng is a good example. And rhodiola is right there with it. It's been clinically shown to stimulate serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. And it can also help if you have any form of neurotransmitter imbalance. So people with Parkinson's, ALS, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's, it's going to make a difference, I believe. So this was published in Herbalgram, the Journal of the American Botanical Council. Lots of studies on rhodiola in humans and animals. It helps prevent fatigue, stress, the damaging effects of oxygen deprivation, and it also is a strong antioxidant, enhances your immune function, increases your sexual energy, and it also has been confirmed in 11 placebo-controlled trials. It has really good quality antiviral properties. So these are just, you know, if you look at the article published in Frontiers in Nutrition, you'll see its antiviral activity. Anyhow, lots of good studies on it. So I believe most people could benefit. But there's one more study, and this is from the University of Wien, WEIN, in Austria. They found rhodiola is a potent herb that can help calm your state of mind. That's important. So, yes, it can boost energy. Yes, it improves athletic performance. Yes, it treats depression, anxiety. But it's also considered, as I mentioned, an adaptogen, which means it helps your body adapt to stress. So its adaptogenic effects are a calming effect. And this was published in the journal Neuropsychiatric Diseases and Treatment, where Austrian and German researchers found that rhodiola promotes a calm state of mind and helps reduce symptoms of burnout and occupational phenomena caused by chronic workplace stress. Just good all the way around. And finally, from the University of Oxford in Great Britain, being positive is linked to a lower chance of dying. Yeah, positive and having a great relationship and getting a degree and something that is significantly associated with the honoring your real life ambition, all of these lower your chance of dying. But a new study out of Oxford showed that when they looked at 28,662 people, they found out that their best chance of reducing dying was having good mental health. And the British Sociological Association Medical Sociology Conference showed that people with high positive mental health were less likely to die than average. So, and that's a big 18%. That's a big increase. So a lot of people get up in the morning and don't know what to be positive about. And I'm suggesting focus on something that you feel good about, something you have in your control, something you can do. That makes you feel good. That can add to your life. Finally, University of Massachusetts found that when you're out there walking 10,000 plus steps every day, and there are counters you can use that can help you, or you can find out how many, let's say, steps there are in a quarter mile and just multiply that you can have a longer life, really substantially longer. And in fact, people who took 7,000 steps a day had a 50 to 70% lower risk of dying from all causes after 11 years of follow-up compared to people who took fewer steps each day. So let's get out there and let's walk. Okay? Ideally, 3 miles, 6 days a week. 20 miles a week would be great. This was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Network Open. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, you're going to be listening to a MD scientist, one of the most respected in his field in America, and he'll introduce himself, and then he goes into the actual science of what is happening to the spike protein when it enters your body. Mind you, no one in the media is talking about this. No one's had him on. They'll attack him and all those. You're talking about an auditorium, a huge auditorium. Every seat's packed, as you'll see if you're watching by going to prn.fm, scroll down, and you'll see it. But I want you to know this is what's being kept from you. As a scientist, as someone who's both worked in applied and basic sciences and was senior research fellow at the Institute of Applied Biology and headed 2 departments, one in energy and one in anti-aging, I can absolutely tell you that this is the first time I have seen ultra-orthodox, mainstream, highly qualified, pro-vaccine, pro-medicine doctors being attacked en masse. You're talking about over 100,000. That it takes a certain type of psychosis for the mainstream media and the orthodox, bureaucratic, scientific, medical establishment to accept that that is a normal way of shutting up someone in science who has a different opinion. So if you don't know this, then you won't know all the information to make an informed choice. What you do with that is up to you. So we're going to come back and you're going to get a really interesting lesson of what's going in your body when the spike protein goes in. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
So who is this random doctor on stage? I'm Dr. Ryan Cole. I'm a Mayo Clinic trained board certified anatomic pathologist, clinical pathologist, dermatopathologist, way too many years of school. Also did some PhD research in immunology. So immunology, virology is right up my alley. So if you want mechanisms of action and how things work and whatnot, go ahead and pick my brain. Okay, what about the spike protein? We're giving a sequence, a gene sequence, into the bodies of human beings. And this sequence goes into our deltoid, and we're informed that it has a little anchoring protein, and once that is translated and makes a little protein and it's on the surface of your cell, it stays there. Well, guess what? It doesn't. And there are studies, and of course the fact checkers are like, oh, this isn't true. I'm a scientist. Don't ask the journalist, ask the scientist. Okay? So this spike protein doesn't stay just in the deltoid. The spike circulates in your blood. It lands in multiple organs in the body. And you know what happens? That spike protein, without the body of the virus present, we did studies in lab animals. In the lab animals, just in injecting the spike, with no body of the virus, the spike induced the same disease as COVID-19 induced, the same lung disease, the same vascular disease, the same heart disease, the same brain disease. The spike is the toxin. So again, why are we injecting something into the human body that is the toxin? It is the toxin. It causes the disease. This isn't a vaccine. Okay, so we know that the virus, everybody's heard about this ACE2 receptor. Here's an example. So on the left-hand side, this is one of the cells that lines your blood vessels. I'll show you a chart in a minute where we have ACE2 receptors. So on the left-hand side, you see kind of in the corner of that upper grid and the bottom grid, these nice smooth lines. On the right-hand side, this is what the spike protein, just the spike alone from the vaccine, is doing to the mitochondria of your cells. That's the engine of your cells. That's what gives you energy, the power of your cells. Compare the left, the smooth, nice, put together. Compare the right, blown apart, fragmented. That's from the vaccine, not from the virus, from the vaccine. Okay, so here's the human body. You can see the plethora of sites where we have ACE2 receptors. Now think about it. I mentioned they tell us, oh gosh, the spike stays in your deltoid. It doesn't. It circulates. In the Harvard study in 13 nurses, they showed it circulating for at least 2 weeks. A lot of people lack something called mRNAs, an enzyme that breaks down the RNA. So it may be circulating for even longer. Now you hear, well, gosh, they died, you know, just so long after the shot. So, you know, it was 2 weeks, 3 weeks, Hank Aaron, whoever. You know what? That spike's circulating. They tried to pull the wool over our eyes and say, well, it couldn't have been the shot. We're too far out. Not if the toxin's still circulating. Not if the toxin's still circulating. The spike is the toxin. Damage to the lungs, like I mentioned. On the left-hand side, healthy lung tissue, nice spaced out. See, this is what pathologists do. We look at all these cells all day long. It's kind of fun. We're nerds this way. On the right-hand side, see how much more purple and blue that is? That's all inflammation. Why? ACE2 receptors in that lung, spike binding to it, inflammatory response, immune system attacking your own body, disease from the spike, disease from your own clot shot, investigational vaccine. They keep lying to the American public by calling it a vaccine. They keep taking the word investigational off. It's what they call it in the emergency authorization. They keep not calling it what it is, investigational, an experiment on humanity. And that's what they're doing, and I'm showing you why. Spike is a toxin, crosses the blood-brain barrier. Kind of like my brain cells to be where they are and not be blown apart, right? So why in the world would we put a toxin into the human body that's going to disrupt the blood vessels in your brain, allow the spike in there, it'll cause inflammation. The brain fog you hear about from the COVID patients, guess what? You hear about it in the post-vaccinated damaged individuals as well. But no, nobody's hurt by the shot. There's not been one death. There's not been one injury. That's what they tell you. It's a lie. And this is science. Okay, here we go. That's all the blue on top, those are brain cells. All the blue doesn't belong there. That's inflammation from the spike. What about the kiddos? Heart inflammation, guess what? Lots of ACE2 receptors in the heart. Here you can see on the left-hand side, see those blue arrows around the white? That's inflammation in the heart. That's not normal. That's after a shot. That's a spike protein landing there. That's your immune system attacking your own tissues. See on the right, that's the red arrows. That's the pericardium, the sac that surrounds your heart. That's inflammation. That doesn't belong there. Once you have heart damage, the heart does not heal itself. Okay, left-hand side, all the blue dots, inflammation. See that gray in the middle? That's early scarring. Guess what? Once a heart cell is damaged, it's damaged forever. It doesn't replace itself with another heart cell. It replaces itself with a scar. So you tell me you want to give a 12-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 13-year-old, an 18-year-old a shot, and we see about a 200 times increase in myocarditis in our society right now? That's a good idea. Let's give a kid a toxin, ruin his heart for life. Stop and think about what we're doing. Insanity. We need to stop the insanity immediately. This is over. Game over. This is no longer good science. This is a poisonous attack on our population, and it needs to stop.
Back. All right. Now, wouldn't you assume that a whole room with hundreds of physicians from all the major institutions and who have impeccable backgrounds, who collectively have published thousands of articles in peer-reviewed journals, who've seen hundreds of thousands of patients, would be invited to share these before Congress or an open public debate, or have anyone from the New York Times or MSNBC challenge them? Challenge in science is completely legitimate. It's necessary. But there's no challenge. There's only censorship. There is no looking at any other approach to COVID. In fact, all other opportunities to approach COVID, early treatment, safer treatment, build up the person's natural immune system, are all closed off with penalties to take away all these doctors' medical license if they continue. That is fascism. And that's unfortunate. Just want to share that with you. Now we're going to go right to a very short clip. It's maybe 4 minutes. And this is a woman who spent years working for Pfizer. And she has a really good science background. And she's going to explain some issues involving the known effects that have been known for a long time by the FDA and prevent it from getting out to the public. Therefore, even if you wanted to know what could go wrong with the vaccine, nothing is safe and effective, totally safe and effective. But we have millions of people injured, some forever. Didn't I show you that woman at a hospital with all the press? It was a big press conference. They were all there, and she just got her vaccine, was smiling, and stood up and tried to pitch vaccines. And within 30 seconds, she was wobbly and went to fall, and they grabbed her. Then she died. Oh, we don't want to go there. Not those stories anymore. Change the stories. Why don't we hear from the victims? Do they not count? Well, in point of fact, vaccine-injured people have never counted, because there's 9 million out there who have stories to tell, and the media doesn't want to hear from one of them. So we have a history of promoting toxic, dangerous substances on the public, and not just vaccines. The American diet, what we promote on television, the alcohol we promote that kills liver cells, brain cells. To a man, depending upon the amount of alcohol and the percentage of alcohol, you could kill a million brain, kidney, liver, and heart cells per drink. So when they say drink reasonably, what's that mean? I just had 2 glasses of vodka. Does that mean I'm drinking reasonably? No, you just killed an awful lot of cells. So no matter what your chronological age, your biological age, just speed it up. Fluoride, pesticides, glyphosate, saccharin, cyclamates. No. Toxic vaccines and covering up the damaging effect is not something new and unique. So let's hear what she has to say.
A lot of people have been confused and things have been chaotic because the FDA approval process hasn't followed a normal process, including consumer good manufacturing practices, which includes the FDA confirming the ingredients and the quality of the ingredients. So that typically happens just before the end of the phase 3 and approval or right around then. And then you go to mass manufacturing. So the mass manufacturing of the EUA injections that are currently available did not go through the standard consumer good manufacturing processes. And so that's what's happening now. So I'm going to read just straight from the letter because, I don't want people to think I'm giving my opinion. But what's in these vaccines is going to be known in the next 2 weeks at the latest. So what they have to do is they have to confirm with the FDA, I think this is per page 3, of the content of the labeling. So that package insert that's currently available is not finalized. It's the draft package insert. Per this letter, Pfizer has been instructed verbatim, as soon as possible, but no later than 14 days from the date of this letter, please submit the final content of labeling in structured product labeling format via the FDA automatic drug registration and listing system as described below. Content of labeling must be identical to the package insert submitted on August 21st, 2021. Let me keep reading though. Please submit final container samples of the product in final containers together with any protocols showing results of all applicable tests. You may not distribute any lots of product until you receive a notification of release from CBER, the Centers for Biologic Evaluation Research. And lastly, you must submit reports of biological product deviations under 21 CFR 600.14. So what that is also is what does that mean, 600.14? Who must report under this section? You, the manufacturer who holds the biological product license and who had control over the product when the deviation occurred, must report under this section. If you arrange for another person to perform manufacturing, which Pfizer did, holding or distribution step, while the product is in your control, that step is performed under your control. And so you must establish, maintain, and follow a procedure for receiving information from the person of all deviations, complaints, adverse events, concerning this affected product. Again, the product was not confirmed. The cGMP was not followed. There was not check. They did not check in the quality of the vials, the consistency of the ingredients of the vials, the expiration dates of the vials. We know that those are continually been extended. So those were all thrown out the window. Those safety strategies, those safety protocols that were put in place were thrown out the window. So if Pfizer has had any deviations in their vials of these vaccines, which there is a lot of information to indicate that they have, including the FDA's own document saying, look, when you do boosters, if you do a test in about five people and, you know, the deviation in the ingredients is close enough, we don't need to inform the public. And there's also such a breadth and depth of side effects that affect multiple systems throughout the body that have different receptor sites. It doesn't make any sense that it appears that these vials are not consistent in what they contain. So if Pfizer has not been honest with the American people and with the FDA in regards to what's in these vials, they have 14 days to come clean.
Is there anything that would lead you to believe that Pfizer has been less than honest with the people or the FDA as to what the ingredients are in these vials in their, quote, vaccines?
Yes. One of the things is what you said, the VAERS database. How do you explain the diversity in adverse events? How do you explain young children getting severe heart inflammation resulting in, you know, potential sequelae of disease for them to have decades taken off their life or immediately suffering from congestive heart failure, to pregnant women while they're breastfeeding their newborn babies, having the babies die from thrombocytopenia and thrombosis. This doesn't make any sense. And then how do you have other people who are injected and they have absolutely no side effects? How do you have people who are injected have dead arm and then in 24 hours, all of a sudden they're putting magnets on their bodies? None of this makes sense. Normally when a product comes out, there may be a serious adverse event that we were unaware of, and maybe it's something like heart inflammation. Okay, and that you go, okay, well, we didn't see that coming. Normally, a product is recalled just for the heart inflammation. This product should be recalled, and we'll go into more detail on that later. But how do you explain the normal rate of pregnancy from or miscarriages from 20% to 80%. How do you explain acute respiratory distress in people who are being injected? How do you explain the CNS, the central nervous system disorders that are happening, the Guillain-Barré? The diversity of these adverse events are not consistent with a consistent product.
You mentioned the lack of a website when we talked on the phone, that Pfizer hasn't.
Okay, it goes on substantially, and then she really lets it rip when it comes to all the different effects. Now, let me just give you one example. We're talking about seeing cases of heart inflammation in children. Once you have any damage to a heart cell, it does not repair itself with another cell. It stays there, and you can have heart scarring. It will create a scar, and that could end a child's life. So just imagine the millions of young people who do not need this vaccine. There's no evidence scientifically, and all the studies show that there is a very, unless a child has a comorbidity like leukemia, there's almost no probability of them dying of the vaccine. For COVID, they'll die of the vaccine in a higher statistical amount. And now you're damaging their hearts or lungs. Well, that's what's happening. And you can't see on a CAT scan or an MRI micro lesions, nor can you see micro strokes, nor can you see micro blood clotting. But it's there, and the evidence is overwhelming. Now let's hear a short clip, just 2 minutes, from a nurse. And she's talking about what is going on from her practice.
I'm a registered nurse, BSN, case manager in Baltimore. My grassroots, boots on the ground report is that there's a lot of patients being injured. I've never seen anything like this. Since January, I've experienced personally 6 deaths, and I've lost count of the injuries. And we're not talking about typical adverse events like fevers, chills, sore muscles. I'm talking about things like urinating clots of blood, paresthesias, gastroparesis, altered mental status, respiratory arrest, cardiac arrest, new onset seizures, new onset diabetes. I have patients who can't walk anymore. Patients who keep complaining that their feet and their hands are burning. They forget where they are. I've just never seen anything like this in all my years of practicing medicine. What I'm seeing now as time goes on is patients who were given the shot months ago that are now showing up in the hospital with equally strange and confusing events. Practitioners see this, their dissonance just flows. And they either ignore it or literally don't know what to do with it. Every healthcare professional working with patients across this country has to see what's going on. What else do I see on the ground? A lot of great suffering that isn't getting met with good care because we have no idea what to do with these patients who have been injured by, frankly, an experimental treatment, and there's no protocols to treat them. There's no information how to help them. And even breaking through the cognitive dissonance of physicians to accept this patient has been vaccine injured is a chasm. It's a huge chasm.
Okay. You're hearing from people who you would not normally hear from. 20-year veteran in medical promotion of new products, who's worked for Pfizer, going rogue, becoming a whistleblower, telling us a different story. I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Nall, just sharing information, scientifically based, medically authoritative, but running exactly opposite the mainstream media. And these are not scientists or people working in the field actually treating the patients, preventing the disease. And the ones we have on do. Yet they're being attacked. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear your thoughts on what do you believe is the appropriate pushback to everything COVID that has now been proven to be misinformation. I've got even more damning documents I'll be sharing with you in a moment that have been recovered by The Intercept and exposing this. Plus, there's some brand new information about some mainstream scientists in the United States that we've never heard of before, and from Great Britain and also from Germany, showing that they looked at four amino acids, which you never see in this kind of virus, and they're showing how this was a lab-made one. That's interesting. So more and more that this was a gain-of-function research. Now, what we don't know, and I won't speculate on, is how did it become a part of this, you know, worldwide pandemic? Was it accidentally let out of the lab? Could have been. Was it intentional? I have no proof of that at this moment. But that it was not natural, that we can say. 888-874-4888 is our talkback number. 888-874-4888. Now, something that I was asked by our office, I'm not in the office, and I'm happy to comply, is to offer people something very unique that can really help them. So we have a package for you today. It's a three-part package, and it starts off with, in my opinion at this time, probably one of the two most important products that I've put together. It's called Immune Stuff. It's the large 480-gram bottle. It's got organic mushrooms. It's, well, let me just go through the blend. Listen to what you're getting in each serving of the Immune Stuff. You're getting astragalus, ascorbic acid, orange juice, L-lysine, acerola, AMLA, A-M-L-A. Just Google AMLA if you want to see why I put it in here. Citrus bioflavonoids, turmeric, green tea, olive leaf extract, echinacea, also purpurea extract, a blend of multiple mushrooms, including organic maitake, organic reishi, organic cordyceps, also cinesias, turkey tail, shiitake, lion's mane, Zhu Ling. We have, and plus more, organic Changel. We have quercetin. We have grapeseed extract, rutin, and Bacillus subtilis. That's a probiotic. Zinc, piperine, and selenium. Wow. So all the great superstars for your immune response is in immune stuff. Everybody can benefit from that. I mean, everybody. Then you get Supremacy, the high-potency bioflavonoid and bufferin, buffered mineral ascorbate, the cherry, and you're getting special magnesium ascorbate, zinc ascorbate, potassium ascorbate, manganese ascorbate, acerola cherry in this proprietary blend. And yet, I made this so that people would not be overwhelmed. So even lay people, you're getting 500 milligrams of vitamin C plus the additional elements, bring up to around 625, which is fine for the average person. And on top of all that, a DVD, How to Add Healthy Years to Your Life. And this is all about what we have to do to slow down and, wherever possible, reverse premature aging. Everything that can help you is in here. So it's brand new. So that's a package, and it's a great price. It'd normally be $148, yours for just $99. You're saving a lot of money. So how do you get it? Simple. You're just going to call and ask for the immune stuff package. And that number to call is 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Or you can call Neil in the Vitamin Closet at 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. And just ask yourself, with all that you're doing, and I'm sure most of you are doing a lot of good things, what else could you do that would really make a difference? Well, have this, watch the film, follow its advice, and take your immune stuff, and you can put that right in, I do, with all my other stuffs every morning. And then I drink that throughout the day. I make a large amount, 32 ounces of liquid in my smoothie, and then I drink that in the morning, afternoon, evening. So I'm getting my body filled with this important, these important nutrients all day long. Okay? But we have something else today, and we're only going to do one extra thing today. We just got word, we just got back in inventory. We've been out of for, 6 months. Is the ionic air filter. And here to discuss this is Dr. Roy Spicer. And Roy has a deep background in water water science. He's a PhD from Rutgers University and microbiology. But he is also very conscious of the air we breathe, especially now all over the United States. And without making any claims, we're going to tell you why this is so important. And if you want to know what I wear every time I travel, every time I go someplace, I wear my ionizer. Nobody pays attention to it. It's small. But I pay attention because I know what it does. Nice to have you with us today, Roy. Please explain
nice to be with you, Gary.
What this does and why it's important for the audience.
Well, we're very concerned about indoor air pollution. And in the last several months, the particle counts have increased across the United States, mostly from all this wildfire smoke migrating across the country. And it's actually aggravated a lot of respiratory conditions. Indoor air quality has been a major factor in various health conditions that we're concerned about. So the idea right now, and this is very helpful to everyone, is to reduce the respirable ultrafine particles in your breathing space. Those are the smaller particles below 0.3 microns that really get deep into the lungs and gets into your bloodstream and can cause all kinds of havoc on your body, including inflammation. So by wearing a personal protection device, this is a personal protection device, not a medical device. It's a very portable, very light, ultralight weight, wearable air purifier. What it does, and I have the studies right in front of me, it actually reduces particles, significant percentages of particles, anywhere from 50 to 90% of the particles in your breathing space by wearing it for 5 minutes. So within 5 minutes, you reduce the particle counts 50% or more, and after 10, 15 minutes, you can reduce the particle counts almost up to 95%, which means that you're breathing in less toxic pollution. So by reducing airborne contaminants in your breathing space, you're lowering the concentration of particles, and this reduces your exposure. This could be anything from dust, fine particles, odors, automobile exhaust, anything that creates combustion that would be in your breathing space, including particles of mold and other microbes. You can wear these anywhere you go. It's made for confined spaces primarily. I just traveled a little bit, and I had three of them with me, so I sat down at the restaurant. I put three in the different corners of the table to keep particles out of my breathing space. When I go to meetings, I wear it. You can wear it at work. You can wear it in a car, public transportation. What it does, it protects you, your breathing space, from inhaling these particles. It's very light. Wear it around your neck. You can put it down in front of you on a table or in a workspace. And the studies have shown, again, particles in the range of 0.3 microns or less are reduced in your breathing space. And this has been done by studies at the University of Cincinnati. It was published in Indoor Air. So there's an article called Evaluation of Ionic Purifiers Reducing Aerosol Exposure. It's very effective, especially in confined spaces, but I do wear it when I walk around, if I go in a store. And the protection you get is in addition to other personal protection devices you may want to put on, such as a mask, which are variable effectiveness. So when you wear a variable effective mask with a personal air purifier, you're reducing your exposure even more. So this is a way to go where you want. You still have to, you know, wear protection devices, follow proper precautions, but you're reducing breathable airborne contaminants. And this is designed, again, to wear anywhere you want. We used to use them on planes. I still use them when I travel, offices, restaurants, and it repels all these particles away from your breathing space. So I would highly recommend it, and it's really important to have a personal protection device that's effective in protecting your breathing space.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Roy. Nice to have you on. If you'd like to get one of them while they last, I think we only got 30 of them, you can call 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. Roy's right. This is one more element of protection, all right? And certainly needed at this time. Let's say hello to Kathy. Kathy, your turn.
Hi, Gary. Can you hear me?
Hi. I can, Kathy, yes.
Hi. I have a question or concern. What do you think, what are your thoughts on sending children to school in this, with the surge of the Delta variant? I have a four-year-old and a six-year-old. My six-year-old is asthmatic. And, you know, in these New York City public schools with the old buildings, lack of proper ventilation, I'm just concerned about whether or not it's like a smart idea and possibly if parents should push back by homeschooling their children instead of sending them into like a maybe heightened viral load. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Okay. Well, the Delta virus is more infectious in younger people, but natural infection also is substantially healthier as far as protecting you in the future than the breakthrough. And when they mention breakthrough, what they're saying is people who are fully vaccinated who then get the COVID and then they really get sick and can die. So the first round is take the vaccine and get protected. Turned out not to be true in all cases. And then it was, well, take both vaccines and then it can go back to normal. Again, not true. They should have been saying viruses cannot be prevented, like the flu vaccine cannot be, virus cannot be prevented, nor the cold virus prevented. We have viruses in us, on us, in the air. So the key is your immune system. The stronger your immune system, the greater resilience you have when you're infected. In fact, I just got an email this morning from one of the people who used to run with us in the running walking club who got COVID, didn't even know he had it, only found out after he got antibody tests, which I suggest people get, because if you've had it, you really have an additional measure of protection from the immune response, just like chickenpox and measles, et cetera. The same principle, not the same virus, but the same principle still works. But we have been telling people, even if you're sick or have been sick, get vaccinated. I think that is terrible advice. It is non-scientific, and it could actually harm a person, causing hyperimmune response. For children, if you have some form of existing comorbidity, and asthma is certainly one, I would be hesitant to put that child back into an environment. I would suggest that you lobby the schools, whether it would work or not, to have a special unique industrial air filters that are filtrating everything in the air at 0.003 microns. That's smaller than the virus. The masks are not. The masks are like trying to stop mosquitoes from going through a chain link fence. You know, the link fence is so big you get 1,000 mosquitoes going through one of them. So the masks are good only if they're N95 high quality and you don't continue to reuse them all the time because of the breakdown of the fibers when you wash them, your own infectious material, the reduction of oxygen being brought in and carbon dioxide building up. And they've been basing the masking upon non-scientific principles. So we've been giving a political mandate that does not have a scientific foundation supporting it. So therefore, homeschooling would be preferable, in my opinion, during this period of time. And so I hope that answers your question. But should the schools get these? You bet. I even had these in my own home. I have like 9 filters in my home. So if someone should come to visit, at least I know the air circulating in that room, up to 3,000 square feet, one filter can do. It's worth it. Okay? Let's say hello. Also, we have on the line Sonia from the Bronx. Hi, Sonia. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. I know several people who were vaccinated and who had side effects and did not report them, and I think we need an alternate reporting system. Because people are afraid to report the side effects. And also I understand that the VARS system is it's almost impossible to file a report of an adverse reaction to the COVID vaccine.
It's not impossible, but nurses and doctors are not doing it because it's not mandatory in the United States. It is more mandatory in Great Britain and in the European Union and its 27 countries. Therefore, their figures are more accurate. A Harvard study showed that the vaccine adverse event reporting system really is only about 1% of adverse reactions are reported. Also, this particular administration and the federal agencies involved, the CDC and the FDA, have done everything humanly possible, assisted by the media, of not talking about how many adverse effects are or downplaying their significance. As if, oh, that's not that important when a child has myocarditis. Yes, it is. And also, that in a good example of this would be, go to the science in Israel. Israel is one of the most vaccinated countries in the world. And especially those who are senior citizens, the vaccination rate is huge. And yet, they have one of the highest breakthrough or reinfection rates. So now they're told they have to have another and then another booster shot. They're going to end up with 4 vaccines. And that's extremely dangerous. And yet, if you don't get those extra vaccines, even though you've been given the so-called green card, which allows you to go to ball games and movies and restaurants or back to work, if you don't get these boosters, then you're not going to get that anymore. So I think that it's very important that we just pay attention to the science and take a look. If vaccines worked, and by the way, don't take my word for this. Israel's COVID czar tell people that get ready for your 4th booster shot. And this is Professor Salman Zarka, Z-A-R-K-A. And he says, take a 4th injection. Well, what would happen if just the vaccine itself just overwhelm the body's immune system? Because at some point in seniors, it's going to overwhelm it. It's just that we have no knowledge when and to what degree. And so we're experimenting on people in a big way. But remember, they all thought that that was great, that there was going to be this mass vaccine experiment in Israel, and they would lead the way. Well, if anything, they've given us a heads up that you better get your homework done first and not use the American public as your guinea pig. And we've used the public as the guinea pig. And now we attack people as if you who have not been vaccinated, you who have not been vaccinated but got the virus, you're a danger. Well, they're telling us that 200 million Americans or more are a danger. And it's turning out not to be the case. So just look for the real science. Follow the science, Sonia. All right? Not the media. We're out of time. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.